Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Psalms. We'll be looking at Psalm 25. It might be a little bit before we get there, so we go through some introductory material as we begin another study in our series that we've been looking at on Sunday nights on the problems of life. Each time that we've come to these Building Believer services and had an opportunity to study one of these problems, it's always been encouraging that the passages of Scripture that we've been able to study have directly related, obviously, to the problem that is being discussed. But also we have seen, at least in my own mind, I've seen personally, that there are numerous passages that cover the various topics that we've been studying. I hope that as tonight, as we look again at one of these topics, that you'll pay attention to where we're at in the message, in the study tonight. But I also hope that your mind will go to other passages that you know of, other verses of Scripture that God has given to us to answer and to deal with this particular problem that we're going to be studying tonight. And as you can see there on your handout there, it is the problem of loneliness. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting in my bed and on my iPad looking through the news for the day. And a title caught my attention. This was the title of the article that I came across. CBS News had an article entitled, "Many Americans Are Lonely and Gen Z Most of All Study Finds." So I clicked on it and began to read, and one of the opening paragraphs states this: "The study, published by the global health service company Cigna, found that 46% of U.S. adults report sometimes or always feeling lonely, and 47% report feeling left out. Cigna calls those epidemic levels." In fact, in some other studies I found, I found out that those numbers have doubled since the 1980s. This study that was done here was done among 20,000 U.S. adults, the ages of 18 and older. And what they did is they had, I didn't even know they had this, but they measured loneliness using the UCLA Loneliness Scale, which is a 20-item questionnaire developed to assess subjective feelings of loneliness and social isolation. And this study found that loneliness affects younger Americans more than the elderly. Now, that kind of surprised me. I knew that loneliness was a problem, but if you would have asked me, not just because of social media, but just in general, if you would have asked me, would younger people be more lonely or would older people be more lonely? I would have answered older people. Because of the fact that a lot of times in the older age of their life, friends are passing away, connections are being separated, and as families no longer stay within the same living area but tend to move out to other areas of the country, even the world, I would have said that older people would have been more lonely. But this study found that Generation Z, or those between the ages of 18 and 22, were the loneliness generation. There's a scale here that ranges from 20 to 80, depending upon how lonely you are. 80, I guess, being really, really lonely, and 20 being not so lonely. But Generation Z had a score of 48.3, and Generation X, 45.1. The so-called greatest generation, those aged 72 or over, ranked the least lonely with a score of 38.6. Now, those numbers really are kind of meaningless to us because we don't quite understand the questionnaire. But what it does help us understand is that loneliness is a problem here in the United States. And loneliness is a problem for those that we interact with and those that are coming up in the age bracket, these 18 to 22-year-olds that are among us. I think we can all understand that and recognize that loneliness affects all people of every age, of every race, regardless of social status, regardless of where you live, regardless of what kind of upbringing you have. Loneliness is a common problem that we all face. So what do people do about it? What do people do about this problem of loneliness that people have? And we think about this age that we live in where we are able to connect with others in such an immediate way. I was talking to one of our members here, and his wife and his little girl are away from him, and he was talking about the fact that how easy it is to connect with them even though they're so far away. Pulls out his phone, pulls up FaceTime, and within seconds, he can be seeing and communicating face-to-face in real time with his family. We have social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, where there are, you can have thousands of friends and followers and interact in a moment's notice with those friends who might be in the same community as yours or halfway around the world. And yet with all of these connections that we're able to have, loneliness is still a problem. So what I did is I typed into Google, "I am lonely," to see what it would pull up. Number one hit, the first hit that I got was an article in Psychology Today, dated December 7th, 2016, by a lady named Toni Bernard. And the title of the article was this, 10 Things to Try When You're Feeling Lonely. And I thought, oh, this ought to be good. What can I do if I'm lonely? Number one, don't blame yourself in any way, shape, or form. Okay? All right, don't blame yourself. Then I went to number two. Seek relief from a non-human friend. Thought, okay, where is this going? Her description, find relief from a pet, a book, food, TV, or nature. Number three. Do something creative, no matter how simple. Try a coloring book or a jigsaw, make a collage, or experiment with needlework or some other kind of craft. Number five, help someone in need. Number six, call to mind others who are feeling lonely and send them kind and compassionate thoughts. Number seven was good. Visualize some place you'd like to be, a fun gathering, the seashore, a sporting event, and see if, just for a moment, you can feel happy for those who are there. Now, if I were to do that, I would just get jealous. That would make me feel less lonely. Now, and there's a couple other, there's three more that I want to mention, but keep in mind, this is the very first result that popped up when I typed into Google, I am lonely. I cannot imagine that I am the first person to have ever done that. I imagine that there are thousands, tens of thousands of people that have done that, seeking answers, what to do when they're lonely, and these are the answers that they are being given. Regardless of who this person is or what kind of credentials they have, because it popped up first on Google, people automatically are going to give this article authority. Number eight, treat loneliness as an old friend who's dropped in for a visit despite not having received an invitation. Number nine, remind yourself that life is not always fun and that tomorrow is a new day. And then number 10, sing. What are these things doing for those that are lonely? It's masking the problem. It's covering up with a temporary fix, and some of these I don't even know if they would be temporary, the problem of loneliness. Loneliness is a problem, and in my research I found that loneliness affects health as it puts us in a straight state, a stressed state. They say that it reduces lifespan, it increases dementia, depression, anxiety, cardiovascular disease, and even an early death. But what is loneliness? How do we define it That's important that we do that, because if we're going to look to the Word of God to find an answer to this problem of loneliness, we have to be on the same page as far as how we define loneliness. And there's a number of different ways that we could define loneliness, a number of different ways that the medical field probably identifies loneliness. But here is the Brian Hoffman definition of loneliness. The definition that we're going to use tonight as we examine this problem from a biblical perspective. Loneliness is the feeling that your life is void of any fulfilling relationships. That definition is what we're going to use, and I want us to look at that definition quickly as we consider where we're going with this. I want us to see that I put there that loneliness is a feeling. There is a difference between being alone and being lonely. There are people who can be alone and yet do not feel lonely. There are people who can be in a crowd with many, many people and they're not alone and yet they themselves internally feel lonely. You can talk to somebody who has numerous friends on Facebook or even many interactions and acquaintances that they have at work or socially, and they can also feel lonely. So loneliness is a feeling, and that feeling may or may not reflect reality, that your life is void of any meaningful connections. Connections exist with human beings. That's what's necessary to make life work. You have to have connections. It's impossible for you to live, nearly impossible for you to live without having any human connection. You have to go to work. You have to go to the store to buy food. When you walk out your door, you have to see people, and there's those interactions that are going on. And so this loneliness then is this feeling that you have, or belief that you have, that your life is void of any meaningful connections. Any connections that are meaningful and helpful to you. Now, I hope that as you're sitting here listening to this definition, that automatically biblical answers are popping into your mind. We're going to get to that in the second point of our study tonight. So we're going to just say it right out front, because we all know what the solution is. We all know what that meaningful connection is. If you are a believer, you know that the feeling that your life is void of any fulfilling relationships, as a believer, you know that that is false. Because you have a relationship with Jesus. That relationship is there and available for you. Now, what you do with that relationship, how you respond to that relationship, is a choice that each of us has to make day in and day out. But if you're a believer and you think, I have no meaningful relationships with anyone, that thought is a lie. Because Christ, as your Savior, as you place your faith and trust in Him, has brought you into a relationship with Himself that can never be broken. Now, why do people feel lonely? A couple things here. We feel physically separated from people. We are emotionally separated from people. Or there is a real or perceived spiritual separation from God. The world will have you believe that the solution to loneliness is more human interaction. If you're lonely, get out there. And even in that article that I brought up at the very beginning of our study tonight, mentioned the fact that go find somebody to be with. And I want to caution us that as believers, the ultimate solution to our loneliness is not just finding more interactions even with church people. The ultimate solution to our loneliness is not merely finding even better connections with people within the church or outside the church. The root of loneliness is not an emotional or physical issue. It is a spiritual issue, because it all boils down to what do we believe about who God is and how He has revealed Himself in His Word. Because if we truly believe what God has revealed about Himself in His Word, then we will never say, according to this definition that I'm using tonight, I am lonely. Because of who God is and what He has done for us. So let's look at our first point here. What we're going to do to begin our study is to look at what brings this feeling of loneliness. What are some things in our lives as believers or as those in the world? What are some things that can bring this sense of loneliness, that can bring a person to the sense, this point where they would say that my life is void of any fulfilling relationships? In Psalm chapter 25, David is speaking here. And David in his life experienced loneliness. He talked a lot about that in the Psalms, and this Psalm is no exception. Verse 16 of Psalm 25 says this, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." Here we have David admitting that he is alone and that he is afflicted. Now, we're not going to go there yet, but just as a point of note, he also gives the answer in this verse, doesn't he? Very beginning of the verse, verse 16, "Turn to me and be gracious to me." In his loneliness, he is looking to the solution, where we're going to be going in a little bit here. But what I want us to see here in our study is that difficulties can bring the feeling of loneliness, and that's what David is experiencing here in Psalm 25. There are difficulties in his life that is bringing this sense of being alone and separated from others, and as we're calling it tonight, this idea of loneliness. First of all, David acknowledges that troubles can bring a sense of loneliness. Verse 17, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all of my sins." What are these troubles here that David is talking about? These are just things that are in David's life and that are in the lives of all people that are difficult to deal with. Circumstances that sometimes are out of our control. Whether that be health issues, or financial issues, or relationship issues. We all have these troubles that come into our lives. And those troubles come into our lives, and we feel like nobody understands what I'm going through in this trouble, because my situation, this trouble that I'm experiencing, is unique. And as I'm experiencing this trouble, other people just don't understand. And because of that, I can't have any meaningful relationships with others because they don't understand what I'm going through. Therefore, I am lonely. So troubles, these types of troubles can bring a sense and a feeling of loneliness. And that sense of loneliness then is the temptation to fall into the thinking that my life is completely void of any relationships. And that's where our thinking gets skewed from what the Bible says about who God is and the relationship that we have with Him in Christ. Now notice verse number 18. He says, "Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all of my sins." Sometimes our sins bring affliction and our sins bring trouble. The Bible is very clear that when we go against the way that God has set up for us to live and what His Word says, there are natural consequences that happen. And those consequences can be troublesome. And they can be difficult. And then as the effects of sin enter into our lives and as we experience those troubles, there can be a temptation that can come into each one of our hearts to have this feeling that we have no meaningful relationships and we forget about God. Secondly, not only tempted by troubles, but we are also tempted by adversity. Verse 19 says this, "Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me." Here we have David going through adversity in his life. His adversity is being brought about by the foes that are around him. And we can also have adversity in our lives. As we live our lives, there are those who desire to make our lives difficult and bring that adversity and bring that trouble. Sometimes, though, this isn't just those on the outside that bring the adversity onto us. This can also happen even here within the church. Because we are all fallen human beings, sin can creep into relationships, and people can bring difficulties into our lives. And as these difficulties enter our lives, we can have this sense and this feeling that we're alone. No one understands. No one cares. I'm alone and don't have a meaningful relationship. Paul also experienced being alone, and he was also tempted with loneliness. Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. I don't know if I have this passage in your outline. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, and he's describing, beginning verse number 9, his desire for Timothy to come to him soon. He goes through and talks about people who have left him. But when he gets down to verse number 16, he says this, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me." Desertion can bring the temptation of loneliness. When we feel like people have left us and they don't care. The reason why they leave, the reason why they desert, can be for various reasons. It can simply be because they forgot, and it slipped their mind. And so when you feel like you need them, people don't show up to help you. Or perhaps people actually choose to neglect you for whatever reason. Paul here is experiencing persecution for preaching the gospel. You would think that the many companions that Paul had, someone would be there to stand with him. And yet he writes to Timothy and says, "In my first defense, no one stood with me, but everybody left me." If we look at the next phrase here, Paul, again, just like David, gives us the answer that we're going to be getting to later on. And that is, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me." But that doesn't mean that Paul was not tempted when he was alone before his trial to have this feeling that his life was void of any meaningful relationships. All of his friends had gone. No one stood by him as he attempted to preach the gospel and stand for the Lord. None of his companions were there, but they all deserted him. Not always is it Christians who might desert you within the church, maybe meaningfully or unmeaningfully, like we talked about them just simply neglecting you and forgetting about you when you feel like you have a need. But as you stand and live for the Lord, you may find that those who you would call your friends that don't know Christ, as you take a stand for what is right, and as you declare yourself to be a disciple of him, and choose to do what is right in your life, they may desert you. They may choose to neglect you because you're weird, because you won't go along in the same sin that they want to go along in, because your life as a follower of Christ is a conviction to them, and so they desert you. So all of these things, all of these difficulties that we have in our life, and we all experience them to one degree or another, depending upon your situation, one of these areas might be more of a temptation to you to fall into this feeling of loneliness than others. But the reality is as you examine your life and you think about where you are in your life, one of these areas can be a temptation that Satan can use in your life to bring you to a feeling of loneliness where you forget about who God is and your relationship with Him, and you feel like you have no fulfilling, meaningful relationships in your life. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 shows us another area of difficulty that can tempt us into the feeling of loneliness, that can bring the feeling of loneliness. Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to see that just like we all experience hardships, the other thing that we also struggle with is sin. And Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 show us that sin brings loneliness, a feeling of loneliness, because it separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear dull that it cannot hear. Isaiah here is declaring that God is a powerful God who can save, and God's ear is open and can hear. But there is a reason why God has not been delivering the people of Israel and why his ear has been closed to their prayers. Verse number 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The first part of verse 2 helps us to see that sin separates us from God. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. This concept would not have been unfamiliar to the people of Israel. The people of Israel understood that God was holy and that in his holiness, he could not tolerate or stand sin. In fact, day in and day out, that reminder was brought before them as they would bring their sacrifices and an animal would have to be killed to atone for their sin. Because sin separates from God. The second half of the verse, though, goes a little bit further and explains that not only does sin separate us from God, but our sin hinders our prayers to God. In verse number 2 says this, but your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now this type of loneliness that comes from sin is a reality in our lives. And I imagine that if we were all honest, all of us would have understand and experienced this type of loneliness, where our walk with God and the fellowship that we have with him is broken. We know what it's like to walk with him in fellowship, to obey his spirit as he leads us, for his word to speak to our hearts as we study it. And yet when we have unconfessed sin in our hearts, the word of God becomes dry and our prayers become empty. And that is the natural consequence of sin. The ultimate root of loneliness is sin. We understand that all men are born separated from God. All men are born void of the most meaningful relationship and the most important relationship that we can have. We're all void of that relationship when we're born. And the reason why we don't have that relationship is a result of our sin. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. We've entered into that everlasting relationship with Jesus because of his death and his resurrection on the cross. But our sin can still hinder that relationship. And as we struggle with sin, and as we struggle with the fellowship with Him, that can bring a sense of loneliness into our hearts. For the believer, the feeling or belief that one is permanently lonely is a lie. We've already talked about that. If you ever say to yourself, I am completely void of any meaningful relationship, that is a lie, because a meaningful relationship is available to you by confessing your sin and getting into a right relationship with God. Perhaps you are here tonight and you've never entered into that relationship with Jesus. You've never experienced that most meaningful relationship with God because you have never had your sins taken care of. You live your life and you know you don't do things that are right and good. But even if you think that you're a pretty good person, the Bible teaches that all people fail to live completely according to God's standards. And because we cannot live completely according to God's standards and according to His commandments, that automatically means that we cannot have a relationship with God, and that means that we deserve judgment for breaking His law. And He justly will bring that judgment to each person who does not repent of their sin and place their faith and their trust in Jesus. And if that's you tonight and you don't understand what a meaningful relationship with God is, tonight could be the night that you enter into that relationship. That relationship was paid for you through Christ on the cross. And if you will turn from your sin and turn to Christ as your Savior, you can enter into that relationship. And then you can always say that you have a meaningful, fulfilling relationship in Christ. I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 6, and we're going to shift gears here, and we've looked at the things that can bring the temptation of loneliness into our lives. And now I want to go to what we've hinted at already, and hopefully where your mind has already gone as we've been talking about this, to the solution to this idea of loneliness. And what we're going to do is what we're going to look at tonight is we're going to look at the ultimate solution to loneliness. As I was studying this, I realized that we could really break this this message into a couple different parts. And we could study the reality that as believers, we have a responsibility to have relationships with one another and to encourage one another. The unique bond that we have in Christ. But even in that relationship that we have with one another through Christ, those relationships are all supposed to do one thing: push each other towards the solution to loneliness, which is Jesus. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 with me in verse number 6. Here we have Moses speaking to Joshua, and in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, Moses says this: be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Moses talking to God's people, to Joshua as he's about to succeed him. And Moses says to him, don't fear. Don't be afraid. You're going to be entering into some difficult times. You're going to be entering into some troubles, some adversity you're going to be facing as you go into the promised land that I'm going to give you. But don't worry. You don't have to be afraid, because the Lord will not leave you and He will not forsake you. He promises to be with us. this concept of God being with his people permeates Scripture. If you read the Bible, you will see constant promises where God tells his people that he will be with them. Maybe your mind, as you read this passage, jumped to a passage in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:5, which says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." This is the answer to when the temptation of loneliness comes into your heart. The answer to the temptation of loneliness is that God is always with you and he will not forsake you. What I love about Hebrews chapter 13 is it talks about keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why can you be content with what you have in regards to monetary possessions? Because he can satisfy and he can bring contentment into your life. And he will not forsake you. Matthew chapter 28, a New Testament passage. Let's go there. And this also is a familiar passage, and yet it's so essential for us to understand and to realize. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is about to leave his disciples after his ministry with them, after his death and his resurrection. And as he stands on that mountain and tells them what his mission is for them, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse number 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God will not forsake his people, and he will not leave us. That is the promise that he has given to us. He has given us a promise that we, as his people, can rest assured that no matter what happens in our life, no matter who else deserts us, no matter who else neglects us, that he is always with us and that he will not leave us. Now, this is a lie that Satan would like us to believe, that we are all alone. And in those difficulties, in those dark moments, it can sometimes feel like God is a million miles away. But nothing could be further from the truth for the believer. Because for the believer, we have the promise of his word that he will not forsake us and that he never will leave us. He will be with us to the end of the age. But the solution for loneliness doesn't stop with the fact that God promises to be with us. The solution to this problem of loneliness is that God has promised to satisfy us. Because isn't that really the problem with loneliness? We are not satisfied with the relationships that we have. We want something more from other people. Whether it's a spouse, or whether it's friends, or coworkers, or other family members, we have this feeling of loneliness and the sense of loneliness because we desire something to meet a need in our hearts. And what we're going to see from Scripture is that God says, I will meet your need. I can satisfy your heart. John chapter 6 and verse 35. His life brings contentment. Here Jesus is talking to those that are around him. And he states this in John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. How can he say that? How is it possible for Jesus to say in this verse that he can satisfy in this way? That he can satisfy these desires? He obviously isn't talking about a physical hunger and a physical thirst. He's using that to describe the feelings of and the desires that our heart yearns for. The reason that Jesus can make such a bold statement that if we will come to Him and that if we will believe in Him, He can satisfy all the needs of our hearts is because He won that on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross and paid the complete penalty for sin, He removed everything that was hindering us from a relationship with God. The one who created us, the one who designed life to work the way it ought to, the one who designed and knows the way that life works best and the way that desires can be met. It was all accomplished through Jesus on the cross. It's because of His life and His death that we can have this satisfaction and this contentment. Go back to Psalm chapter 16. And Jesus, or God here in Psalm chapter 16 also shows that the solution to our loneliness is Himself. Not only does Jesus' life bring contentment, but God's presence brings joy. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, "You make me to know the path of life. In Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." God is at work in our lives to lead us along the path that He has planned for us. We have a choice whether we're going to follow Him. We have a choice whether we're going to go in the path that He has for us. But here the psalmist tells us that as God makes known to us the path of life, we can be in His presence. And then as we are in His presence, there is a fullness of joy that is incomparable that can fill our hearts. At His right hand, as we walk next to Him, there are pleasures forevermore. This is the verse that we have to ingrain in our heart, because all around the world, all around in the world around us, there are lies that are being fed to us that there are better pleasures than God. And our flesh, our sinful flesh, yearns for those pleasures because we don't want to believe what God says. And even as believers, we can start to believe the lie that the world is giving to us, and our flesh can go after those desires, that money or fame or relationships or a new job or a husband or a wife or children or no children or a different school or a different position, that these are the things that can bring true satisfaction. But those are all lies. Because God is the one where there is fullness of joy. It is in His presence that we can experience that all-satisfying joy that can meet every need and every desire in our heart. So the solution to loneliness, as stated here, is not having more people or more meaningful relationships. The solution is satisfaction in God alone. So these difficulties that we experience, that we talked about, that can bring this sense of loneliness, we don't need to ask God to remove those difficulties. We need to ask Him for a deeper joy in Himself. We need to realize that in the middle of any difficulty, no matter what that difficulty is, the solution to the sense of loneliness that we have is not the removal of the difficulty, but it's finding a deeper joy in God and walking with Him. How does this happen, though? How does this happen for us to be able to find our satisfaction in God and to find presence, to find joy in His presence? How do we do that? Number one, we have to believe what God has said. what has God said about himself? And like I said, I hope that there's been verses kind of going through your mind as you've been thinking about that, because there is a plethora of them in the Word of God. How about this one? Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Do you believe that? Because that is where the solution to loneliness starts. It starts by believing what God has said in his Word. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What a promise. God says, and previous in this verse, it talks about cleansing our hearts. As we cleanse our hearts from sin and as we draw near to God, God simply states, you draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, and without faith it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Do you believe that? These verses are scripture. They're what God has given to us. And if we are going to have victory over this feeling of loneliness in our lives, where we feel void of any relationships, meaningful relationships, and we're going to find our satisfaction and joy in God, we have to start by believing what God has said. You did that at salvation when you placed your faith and trust in what his word said, and you have to do that in your sanctification and as you to find joy in him, that you believe what his word says about where true joy is found. It starts by believing what God said, and then it continues by seeking the Lord in his word. It's not just to say, okay, I believe that he can satisfy the longing soul. It's not just fine to say that he fills the hungry soul with good things. It needs to go further than that. It needs to go in a pursuit of him. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How can you be a man or woman who is blessed and happy? By meditating upon what God has said in his word and by knowing him through it. Psalm 119, 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. It's in his word that we're going to see God in all of his glory and understand who he is, and through that knowledge and that relationship with him, have those desires and those needs met. John 5:39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. The scriptures reveal who Jesus is. Preaching can help, and preaching is vital. But preaching is not the ultimate source of learning about who God is. The ultimate source of learning about who God is by you opening up God's word and asking him to open your eyes so that you can behold the wonders of who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and how he can satisfy. We need to believe what God has said. We have to seek the Lord through his word, and that can bring the solution of loneliness. Go to one more passage with me, please. I know we've looked at a lot, and we're closing down here. Psalm chapter 73. What does it look like? What does it look like when somebody has believed what God has said, has sought God through his word, and is finding joy in himself, in God? What does that look like? Psalm chapter 78, or Psalm 78, verses 25 and 26 show us what that is. The psalmist here says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When we truly find our joy in God, we will be able to say with the psalmist, there is nothing on this earth that I desire beside you. There is no other relationship that I desire except a relationship with you. This is a glorious truth. That the God of heaven, through His Word and through faith in Him, can provide us with this joy that He desires to give us. So, single person out there, this week, you may struggle with loneliness because of a lack of a spouse. Young mothers, you may struggle with loneliness because you're surrounded by children day in and day out who can't really give you much meaningful conversation. Young person, you may enter into your summer with your friends, and yet you may have an emptiness in your heart and a sense of loneliness because you're not connecting with your friends. There might be some older people this week, and you may go through your week and not have any interactions with others, and the temptation of loneliness is going to come into your heart. My point in mentioning all of these examples is to help us all to realize that no matter what stage of life we are at, the temptation to enter into this aspect of loneliness where we feel like we don't have any fulfilling relationships, it's possible for each one of us, no matter what stage of life we are at, and no matter how many people we have surrounding us. The solution is God. The solution to loneliness for you as a believer is a relationship with God. But here's the other aspect that I want you to think about as you leave tonight. This week, you are going to be interacting with people who on the outside may look like they have it all together, and on the outside they may look completely fine, but inside they may be very lonely. And they are lonely because they do not have a relationship with God. You have the answer to share with them. You have the gospel to show them and to say to them, I can show you how you can have your loneliness met and how you can enter into an everlasting relationship with God that is more fulfilling than anything else on this earth. What a privilege that is for us to do and for us to experience. Loneliness and the temptation is going to creep in this week. May we all look to God, to look to Him to meet that need in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word that gives us the solution to all of our problems. And you do so through Your Word in such an abundant way. I pray, Lord, that as we all go into our week, that You would convict us when we look to other things to meet this sense of loneliness, and that You would bring these passages of scriptures to our mind to bring us back to a right relationship with You. We thank You, Lord, that You promise to be with us and that You will never forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.